Well, let us now turn to our scripture reading for this morning. If you turn in the Old Testament to the first book of Samuel, we're going to be considering Hannah this morning, and we'll read first chapter of 1 Samuel and also the first two verses of chapter 2. First Samuel chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. And let's give our undivided attention to the reading of God's own holy, infallible, inspired, precious word. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Sophim, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tuhu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives, the name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide for ever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks and one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Amen. We'll end the reading of God's word there. O congregation, brothers and sisters, as you know, the Old Testament, it contains many portraits of godly men and women from whom we can learn many valuable lessons about life and how to live out our lives before the face of God. We encounter great men of God such as Noah and Abraham, Joseph, Joshua, David, Daniel, Moses, for example. And we meet, of course, with great women of faith such as Sarah and Rebecca, Ruth and Esther, for example. But perhaps one of the greatest portraits of all which the Old Testament gives us of a godly woman is that of Hannah, the mother of Samuel, who was one of the greatest of the prophets of Israel and who was himself a mighty man of God. And I want to look this morning then at the portrait that is left for us in the Old Testament of this great woman of faith by observing some of her defining characteristics and the lessons that can be drawn from them. And given, of course, that today is Mother's Day, this message is aimed primarily at the women and the mothers in the congregation, which is why I'm calling it Hannah, a portrait of a godly woman and mother. But I trust that we can all learn from her godly example in one way or another. And I realize also that while Mother's Day is traditionally a day to celebrate mothers and motherhood, that for some of you it may well be a very difficult day. For a while you're no doubt thankful for the opportunity that it gives to perhaps honor your own mother, all your friends who are mothers. You may well feel saddened by the reality that you yourself are not a mother, even though you may well long to be one. And that could be because you are as yet unmarried, or even if you are married, you have been unable to have a child of your own, or because perhaps even you have lost a child in the past. And so this day can be a very painful, sad experience for some of you and many women like you. And I want to be sensitive to that today, as all of us indeed ought to be. And if that is your situation, then I pray that God will give you an extra measure of grace to comfort and uphold you as we bring this message this morning. Well, having said that, I do want to take this opportunity to look at the wonderful example that Hannah does provide of a godly woman and mother. And I hope it will be of help, encouragement to those of you here in the congregation who are women, who are tasked with the solemn responsibility of bringing up your own children. And as we look at this wonderful woman, I want to notice five things about Hannah that we see from the first part of the first book of Samuel, which we read earlier. And we'll see firstly then that Hannah was a woman with very real problems. But then secondly, we'll observe that Hannah was also a woman of great prayer. And then thirdly, we'll notice that Hannah was a woman with right priorities. And then in the fourth place, we'll note that Hannah was also a woman of steadfast purpose. And then lastly, we'll see that she was also a woman of fervent praise. Well, the name Hannah itself, it speaks of her beauty as a godly woman, for it means grace or favour. And she is set before us in the Bible then as a portrait of the grace of womanhood. But she first appears in the first chapter of Samuel as a barren and a childless woman. And so I want us to see in the first place then that Hannah was a woman, just like all women, with very real problems of her own in life to contend with. And that's what's so comforting, so helpful about the biblical accounts of men and women of faith. You see, the Bible doesn't gloss over the fact that they were real men and women just like all of us here. And they too knew what it was to experience then the very real and difficult challenges of living in a broken world. And that was very much the case with this godly woman, Hannah. For we're told, if you look in verse 2, she was the wife of a man called Elkanah, who also had another wife called Peninnah. And while this second wife had children, it says that Hannah had no children. For we read in verse 6, up until this time the Lord had shut up her womb. And understandably then that would have caused her a lot of pain and heartache. May well have raised many questions even in her mind about God and his dealings with her. But to make matters worse, the other wife of Elkanah, Peninnah, we know that she mocked her, she scorned her, she constantly put her down because of her barrenness. As we read in verse 6, she provoked her severely to make her fret. And friends, this went on year after year, as it says in verse 7, so much so that Hannah wept. She didn't eat because of it when she went up to the house of the Lord on this occasion. Remember, at this time it was seen as a disgraceful thing for a woman if she couldn't have children, because children were counted as a blessing from God. And you can well imagine then how difficult it must have been for Hannah to have to bear this burden of the stigma and the shame that was associated with childlessness. And friends, perhaps there is no greater heartache for a woman than to have the heart of a mother, the desire to nurture and love a young life, but not to have that wish granted. Well, Hannah knew that pain. She knew that struggle for herself. And we can only imagine what it must have done to her, what it must have made her feel like. Perhaps she felt at times that her personal worth, her self-esteem, were undermined and diminished because of her lot in life. Other times, maybe even she reasoned something was wrong with her, that God was displeased with her, that she was barren because of some sin in her life. You see, that's what others would probably have been saying to her and about her. And we're not told here exactly how long this difficult season of her life continued for, or whether or not there were even times when she was tempted to give up and abandon her faith in God. But nevertheless, we know she did remain committed to the Lord, trusting in Him to provide for her in His time and in His way. And so Hannah's life, it beautifully portrays genuine commitment to God then, in faith, even in the midst of all of her the depths of her pain and her suffering. And friends, that should be an encouragement to all of us today, in whatever you or I may be going through or facing in life, to maintain our faith, our belief in God, in the goodness of God, in spite of appearances perhaps to the contrary at times. You see, this was a situation that was completely out of Hannah's control, but yet because she was a woman of faith, she knew where to go with her problems and her situation in life. And that's what I want to observe about Hannah then in the second place. She was also a woman of great prayer. For even though she found herself in very difficult and trying circumstances, she hurt deeply because of those circumstances. Nevertheless, in her pain, she had learned to cry out to God. And friends, when we are in pain, there is no better person to go to than God Himself, to pour out our souls and our hearts before Him. That's what we read she did in verses 9 to 11 and also in verse 15. We're told she went to the temple of the Lord, and being in bitterness of soul, she prayed to the Lord. She wept in anguish before Him. And she asked God to look on her affliction and remember her and not forget her, His handmaid, but that He would give her a male child that she could give back to Him. And verse 12 says she continued praying before the Lord. And so Hannah was a woman then who knew what it was to pour out her heart in honest, open faith before the Lord, to cast herself upon His mercy and His grace. For you see, she had learned to turn her care into a prayer, to direct it to her God by casting her care upon Him in the belief that He did care for her. And friends, that is always the best policy when we feel helpless and broken. For as the hymn writer asks, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Well, that's where Hannah took refuge then, in her time of trouble and temptation. She found her way to a throne of grace. And she sets before us all an example of godliness to follow then. And perhaps you're here this morning, perhaps you are burdened and struggling for whatever reason today. Maybe you feel you've prayed and prayed and prayed, yet it seems there's no answer. Maybe you're even on the verge of giving up, calling it a day and thinking it's a waste of time. Well, friends, Hannah may well have been tempted on occasions to do likewise. And yet she persisted in bringing her needs before the Lord, because she was a woman of great prayer. And that's what I want to encourage all of you to do the same. You see, God sees you just as He saw her. He knows your particular circumstances, knows your cares in life. And friends, He does care for you. And so go to Him then. Seek grace to leave your burden with Him. For yes, you may not get the answer you desire or expect immediately, but you may receive the peace and the grace you need at a throne of grace to press on for another day, to keep on keeping on when your strength is ready to fail. You feel at times that the burden of life is ready to swallow you up. And many times in life it is hard to see and understand what God is doing in our lives and and why it is that he allows the things that happen to us to happen. But we can be confident, can we not? As his word assures us, he is hearing our prayers. He is working to accomplish his own holy and wise purposes in our lives. And friends, however dark, however desolate and difficult life may be then, we need to remember we don't know all that God knows, and therefore he is asking us to simply trust in him, in what he is doing, just as Hannah did, and to go on walking by faith, not by sight, resting in him and waiting upon him. You see, when we do so, we'll discover that his grace, it is sufficient for us, as Hannah did. For notice the effect of Hannah's praying in verse 18. We're told there that having poured out her soul before the Lord, having committed her way to him, she went her way and did eat. Her countenance, it was no more sad. You see, because of her perseverance in prayer, Hannah's sorrow, it was turned to gladness, and she found renewed strength and courage to press on in life, to keep fighting the good fight of faith. For as one author says, when we fight our battles on our knees, we win every time. And that is what Hannah discovered for herself. Well, Hannah was a woman with real problems in life then. But you see, she had learned to take those problems to her God in prayer. And so she's an example to us all of true godliness, the power of faith and prayer. But she was also a woman with right priorities in life. And that's what I want to now notice about Hannah in the third place. And this is where we see in particular how she is presented to us in the Bible as a beautiful portrait of a godly mother. For we know from verse 11 that Hannah had made a vow to the Lord that if he would give her a male child, then she would give that child back to God that he might belong to the Lord all the days of his life. And we're told the Lord heard the prayer of Hannah. He opened her womb by giving her a son. And so she called his name Samuel, as it says in verse 20, because she had asked him of the Lord. And the word Samuel, it actually means asked of the Lord, or heard of God. And you see, it was God's purpose then to give Hannah a son. He granted her her request. But friends, what specifically was it that Hannah desired for her child? She wanted a child that she could dedicate to the Lord himself. She wanted a child that would grow up to serve and love God. And that's what I mean then when I say that Hannah was a woman with right priorities. You see, what she wanted most of all for her son was that he would become a man of God, someone who would be set apart for the purposes of God. For the vow that she made here was that her son would be a Nazarene. That's what she means when she says in verse 11 that no razor would come upon his head. And remember, a Nazarite is, as one author says, it is a picture of someone who is kingdom-minded, someone who is concerned for the things that concern God, someone who is concerned to advance his kingdom. And the Nazarite is a picture then of someone who is fully consecrated to God, who is devoted to God, who is given over to God's service. And you see, that's what Hannah wanted more than anything for her son, for the child that God had given to her. Because you see, she recognized if a child is a gift of God, a precious gift that has come from God himself, then that child belongs to God and must therefore be given back to him. and therefore they must be raised in the interests of God's kingdom. And that meant then that Hannah was fully committed to investing in the life of Samuel by doing everything she could to see to it that he would be brought up for God. And friends, she didn't pray that her child would be successful. She didn't pray that her child would be rich or famous or intelligent even. Her prayer was simply that he would be for the Lord God all the days of his life. And is there not a timely lesson here for all of us who are parents then? Do we not need to ask ourselves if we are a parent? Well, what is the greatest desire of my heart for my children? Is it that they might have a heart for the Lord God above all else, that they would willingly yield up their lives to him? And are we fully committed to doing what we must to now invest in our children to that end, whatever it may cost us, personally or financially or in other ways? Well, Hannah was devoted to the spiritual well-being of Samuel, and so we see that she treasured the time she had with him in his earliest and formative years. And so she nurtured him, she cared for him in such a way that when the time finally came for little Samuel to be taken to the temple, given over to the service of God, she had already built into him a worshipping spirit. For notice what it says in verse 28. We're told there they both worshipped the Lord after she had brought him to Eli the priest. And that little baby that the Lord had given her, he had now become a child. But he knew how to worship God. And how do you think that he had learned to do that? Well, no doubt he learned it from his godly mother, who had been seeking to teach him about the things of God and how to pray and how to worship. And friends, if we want our children to learn these things, then surely we must do likewise. We must model true godliness before them, as she did. Well, Hannah was a woman with right priorities then, for God's priorities, you see, were her priorities. And that meant then her focus, it wasn't merely on the things of this world, but on the things of eternity. And she was determined, therefore, to do what she could to train up her child in the way that he should go. And friends, that must be the goal of every mother if her children are to rise up and call her blessed at the last, as it says in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 28. Makes me think of a young girl who was lying upon her bed that proved to be her bed of a fatal sickness. And she was the only child of her parents. And they idolized her. Because of that, they indulged her every whim. And because of her sickness, the doctor, he was called to see her. And after examining her, he whispered into the mother's ear. He told her there was nothing that he could do for her. And that message, it was heard by that sick girl. And calling her mother to her side, she said to her, she said, "Mother, you have taught me how to dance, how to dress well, how to comport myself in the world. But one thing you have failed to teach me, and that is how to die." Well, friends, may God forbid that whatever else our children may ever be able to say any about us, that any of them would ever be able to say that. And let us strive then, by the grace of God as parents, to to bring our children up in such a way that they can live and die well. Well, Hannah was a woman with right priorities then, kingdom priorities. But you see, because that was true of her, she was also a woman of steadfast purpose. And that's what we can note about her in the fourth place. You see, Hannah didn't simply make a vow to God to give her son to him all the days of her life. She was also faithful to uphold and perform that vow. And so when she had weaned her child, she brought him to the house of the Lord, to Eli the priest. And in verse 26 we read that she said to Eli, "As thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood before thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And at this time, Samuel may only have been around 3 or 4 years of age. And there's no mention here of her emotions at this point. But surely we can imagine. It must have been incredibly heart-wrenching for her as a mother to finally give up her son to the service of the Lord, especially after she had prayed for a child for so long, and then she had nursed and nurtured him up until this point. And yet, friends, she didn't waver in her purpose to give him up to God. She remained steadfast in her resolve to do the will of God just as she had promised. And we see, therefore, that she was also a woman of her word. Because, you see, she knew that vows were meant to be kept. And she wouldn't go back on her word then, even if it meant giving up the one thing that she most desired in life. But not only that, Hannah also remained steadfast in seeking to fulfill her responsibilities as a mother to Samuel. For later on in chapter 2 and verse 18, we didn't read this, but we read there that Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. In other words, he was in the attire of a priest, even as a little boy, while he was engaged in his various duties. But as verse 19 says, it was his mother who would make him a little coat and bring it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And so every time Hannah then would come to the temple, she came with a brand new robe for her growing boy. Because you see, she still wanted to do all that she possibly could, however limited it may have been, to take good care of her son. And Hannah never stopped being a mother to Samuel then, no matter how old he became. And no doubt he was always on her heart, in her prayers, even though he was a great distance from her. And Hannah is a remarkable example to us then of the sacrificial love of a mother. You see, as Amy Carmichael says, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And Hannah was a giver who gave out of love. But what is most remarkable of all is that even though she did love her child deeply, as every mother should, yet because she loved God most of all, she was willing to give him the most precious thing to her in all the world, in order that he might be glorified. You see, she was determined that the gift which God had given her, that it wouldn't become more important to her than the giver himself. And Hannah is an example to every mother then as to what it means to be a consistent and a committed Christian mother. You see, she counted the cost of following the Lord, whether it proved to be easy or difficult. And she was steadfast in her purpose to lovingly do the will of the Lord in all things. Well, Hannah was determined then to make God her main priority in life. And so she showed by her lifestyle that her highest goal it was to serve and honor God. And that brings us lastly to see very briefly, she was also a woman of fervent praise. We see that in her prayer, which is recorded in the first 10 verses of chapter 2. Prayer which is just full of praise and adoration to God for all that he is in himself and all that he is to his people. And you see, Hannah had proved the love of God to her. And that love it had captured her heart. And it was only natural then that she would give expression to it in a prayer or song of praise and worship to her God. And this is a picture of a woman with a thankful heart then for all that God had done for her in answering her prayers, visiting her with his salvation. And friends, every godly woman and mother should be known, should they not, for her praise to God and an attitude of worship. And that's what characterized Hannah in the good times as well as the bad. You see, even before the Lord had ever granted her her request for a child, we read she was a woman who worshipped before him, as we see from verse 19 of chapter 1. And even in the valley of trial and affliction then, Hannah was still conscious God is worthy of our worship and our praise. And so she freely offered it to him. And if you and I know of Hannah's God then, is it not the case that surely we will also do the same? You see, even if we never receive from him many of the things that we may desire in life, can we not still praise him as she did by rejoicing in his salvation? For whatever he may withhold from us, he has provided salvation for us in and through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And friends, that is much more than any one of us deserve and more than sufficient reason to offer him our fervent praise. Well, there's much more that could be said about this remarkable woman, Hannah. But I trust enough has been said to show us why she is one of the greatest portraits which the Bible gives us of a truly godly woman and mother. And she's set before you then as a worthy example to follow. And that's what I want to encourage every mother here to do. Whether you are, or every woman here to do, whether you are a mother or not. But I also want to say in closing to the children of those of you who have, or of the children of those of you who are mothers in the congregation, one of the greatest gifts that God can give any child is the gift of a godly mother. And yes, your mother may not be perfect. But one thing I can assure you is if she loves the Lord Jesus, if she's seeking to pass on that legacy to you, then children, she is giving to you the greatest thing she could ever give you. And children, honor your parents then, honor your mother. Show the love that you have for her on this Mother's Day by telling her that you love her. Tell her that you appreciate your mother and all that she does for you from day to day. Amen.